Thank you, Doug. That passage has a lot of material in it. It sure stirs my heart, and I pray that it stirs yours. As Doug reminded us last week, that if we are believers, we have the light in us, and we should be showing the light to the world. We're reminded that the day of the Lord is approaching, and if we're prepared, that should result in comfort and encouragement to us. If we're not prepared for that, it's overwhelming, isn't it? And then a list of instructions for the church and for our lives. This tells me that we need to be prepared. I asked Reese to get me some water, I forgot. Well, in preparing for Pastor Nick's arrival, we knew that we would have a couple of open Sundays that some of us would be privileged to share. And I thank Doug for preaching last week and bringing us the message. And I just want to share today with you that what the Lord's put on my heart in this time of transition and preparing for a new pastor and preparing for what God is going to do in this church. Community. So I'm very excited. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. I thank you for what you've laid on my heart. Father, I pray that you would use me to share what I have learned from your scriptures. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lots of preparations this time of year, right? Preparing to travel, preparing for Christmas, wrapping the presents. Who's had enough? Amen. Amen. A few honest truthers here. I like that. It has been a blessing this Christmas season. The Christmas Eve service was a blessing to me. Family time has been a blessing to me. And preparing this sermon has been a blessing to me. Pastor Nick, in his preparation to us in his last sermon, he asked us to do three things. Can anybody shout out one of those three things that he asked us to do? Read Acts, okay? Another one? Pray for what? A couple things. Okay. Open our mind to what the church could be, which may be different than what we think now. He asked us to lay aside our presuppositions about church, whether they were necessarily tradition or if they were biblical. That's hard, isn't it? Change here? We're comfortable, aren't we? Don't we get comfortable doing the same thing every week, sitting in the same pews every week? Some of you move around. I like that. Others, well, not so much, but that's okay. What was the other thing that he asked us to do? He asked us to pray for the transition and pray that we would be able to be open to God's leading, and that has to go with the presuppositions. That message really led me to where I wanted to bring the message this morning. And that is preparing. And the scriptures are full of passages of faith, hope, and love. And I really think that that's a reoccurring foundation. And we need to be prepared. So we've certainly been preparing and by asking for prayer from the pulpit on Sunday mornings for the new pastor and the leadership changes that we'll have. And by asking for God to lead us as a church and asking for submission to his leading. I'd like to share some ways that we can prepare for this new phase of ministry in the life of First Baptist Church. So, I want to start with big picture. Big picture. Understand and remember that God has been and will continue to be in the center of this transition. Not all of it's been very fun. Not all of it has been easy. Some of it's been a struggle. But we need to remember that God has had a purpose, and God is in control of these things, and He is at the center of the church. We know that God is sovereign over each of our lives and that of the McElraths. And we prayed that the Lord would lead us both as individuals and as a church, as a leadership team, and even we prayed this in the search committee as we were searching for Pastor Nick. We trust that God has graciously answered our prayers by leading us to Pastor Nick and for Nick to answer the call that we believe God is calling him to this church. So here's where I get to step in as your moderator, as your lay leader, and give some warnings to you. I knew that this was going to be part of my message when I started thinking about the transition. Warnings. No one man, not even a small group of people, can do the ministry of a church. I think sometimes in our culture, and I've seen this, sometimes our culture, we get a squared away pastor and we build him up, and we build him up, and we build him up, and before too long, he's a man and he fails. And then that takes us off track ourselves, not our pastor. And heaven forbid that we would actually talk about weakness from the pulpit. That is why I shared with you this morning about my kids. It was a distraction to me. But I wanted to use it as a point, because sometimes there's correlation between how we fight as brothers and sisters at home, in our families. And I'm sure in the holidays, not everybody had perfect family harmony in these family get-togethers. There's always seems to be some. But it's the same thing that we see in our church body. Sometimes we just don't get along. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye. But I've seen our church growing and maturing and being able to maybe tolerate each other, show reverence for each other, you know, show respect towards one another, even though we don't agree. And we see this in the leadership. We're all different. God has given us different gifts, different strengths, different weaknesses. We don't always agree. But what I ask the leadership to do is I say, look, we need to see where God is leading us. And that's going to be my challenge to you, is say, there's going to be change in the church. Where is God leading us? And can we submit to that? So as I want to reference that again, no one man or even a small group of people can lead the ministry of the church. Well, they can lead, but they can't do it all. Okay? Acts 6 demonstrates this, that others are needed to share in the work of the ministry. See, it takes a body of believers. It takes a team with God at the head to do the ministries of the church. So Acts 6, it tells us that there was a complaint that somebody's people weren't getting what they thought they were due, and it became a distraction. So what they did is they set apart teachers and then had other people do the work. See, the pastor is going to be a part of the leadership team or a part of the elders, and they're to govern the church and to oversee the church. And the elders and the deacons are called to minister together with the pastor in nurturing the church, giving instruction to the church, and be in prayer over the flock, and to live godly lives that could be an example to the flock. So it's essential that we can prepare that the pastor is not going to do everything. The pastor is not going to be able to do everything. Okay? In Acts 6, we also see that the apostles devoted themselves to prayer and ministry of the word, which helps us understand that these pastoral duties are of special significance. Preparing a sermon takes time, and the prayer that should go with that takes time. The prayer and concern of the church should take time and dedication. We need to help the pastor protect that time and focus his needs on these priorities that he's called to do. So now I want to move us into a mindset of preparation. Preparation as a congregation. It is the call of the gospel that we be engrafted into Christ's body. And I've alluded to this earlier. That is his church. We are called to be members of God's family and to be citizens of the kingdom. This means that we care about the life of the body, not just the fulfilling of our own needs and satisfaction. In this, we dedicate ourselves to loving one another. Does that sound familiar? To support church and its work, worship and work, and be part of reaching out to the world with the gospel. And to submit ourselves to the government and to the discipline of the church. So I have four ways I'm going to share with you this morning that we can help prepare ourselves for this transition as a congregation. Mindset of cooperation. 1 Peter 5 exhorts the elders of the flock, including the pastor, not to domineer or lord over those in their charge, but to shepherd them, exercising an oversight and being an example. At the same time, Hebrews 13:17 exhorts the church to obey the leaders and to submit to them as they are keeping watch over their souls of the flock. So part of our preparation as a congregation is to adopt an attitude of cooperation in and amongst ourselves, supporting each other, supporting the leadership out of reverence for Christ. We must be prepared for change. We know that God has worked in this transition. We've seen it. And by transition, by definition, we'll bring new things and different things, maybe how we do things. Maybe it'll be a radical change and we'll start church at 11 o'clock instead of 10:30 or 10:15. Or we'll ask everybody to move forward. If you've been here for more than three Sundays, we're going to ask you to move forward. It's a joke. It's a joke. See, we need a little bit of communication here. See, I just don't want to be the one communicating. See, I need you all to communicate. And even Pastor Nick has alluded to, Rod, they were pretty straight-faced. They didn't communicate at all. And some of that is comfort. When I think when we get to know Pastor Nick, we'll know when he's emphasizing something in pause. And I know it's hard, you know, when you have somebody that's not used to being up here, that may have different mannerisms, or you're not quite sure. But I'd rather it almost feel out of turn, but I need that communication. And I would encourage you to communicate with the pastor during the message, okay? We must be prepared for things that we will not like. Each of us have our own vision of a pastor, right? We're all different. God has made us different. And each of us, if we could draw a picture of a pastor, I don't know if there, I think there'd be some similarities, but I think it would be different. See, pastors and elders are men just like us, and we will have weaknesses. If we don't totally agree with the pastor and the leadership team, I would urge you to pray for them instead of criticizing, complaining, or talking negatively. Trust God to answer your prayers and for the Holy Spirit to convict and bring change where conviction and change may be needed. See, we may not always do it right. But I can speak for Pastor Nick, and I can speak for the elders, that we want to be and we strive to be in submission to God and to see where He is leading this church. There's one commonality between the pastors and the leaders that we have. See, we've had, for those that have been here long enough and seen the transition of the last, I'm going to say 15 or 18 years, the experience that God has shown us through the pastors who have led us and the leaders that have led us, but Pastor Stu, Pastor Ray, Pastor Nate, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Kurt times two, because he was here twice. They've been different from each other. And each of their aspects of leadership appealed to different members of our body. The same is true with other leaders. One thing is common between all of them, and that is I believe they've all loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, mind, and soul and strength, and each of them longed for the lost to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So that's a picture how all of these pastors and leaders can be different. And it's a picture of how we're one body, but some of us like each other better than others. Some of us get along better than others. But sometimes some of us get along in appearance because we're maybe a little bit more evasive, or we just don't bring up those things. I think that God is teaching us through these transitional things that God can use His church. When you've had a pastor here for 20 years, God can use His church to glorify Him when a pastor's only here for a short time. And I pray that we're prepared for God to do great things, which may mean change. It may mean discomfort to us. Because again, Christ is the head of the church, and if we submit to Him, then things shall go much better for us. We need to lay aside our personal preferences and pray that God will use His servants to lead us and to build His kingdom. So specifically, another area that we can prepare in is prayer. Your leadership team and the pastor need to dedicate to standing behind them in prayer. Let me say that again. Your leadership team and pastor need prayer warriors to dedicate to standing behind them in prayer. Please, if you're convicted, please commit to that. Spiritual battles that our leadership face and pastor face are real. We must pray that God will work out His purpose in us and through us as a church, even in the face of that pressure. Hebrews 13:18, Paul urges the believers to pray for him and his fellow leaders And we see this expectation of prayer for him in Colossians 4:3, Philemon 1:22, and Philippians 1:19. In Acts 4 and Acts 12, we see that the believers met together to pray for Peter and John when they were threatened and Peter imprisoned. This is a great support, encouragement, and strength that is infused into a leader when he knows his flock is praying for him. So that is a moderator challenge. James 5:17. If you can turn with me to that. I don't think it's going to be up on the slide. James 5:17. And I believe that Pastor Nick preached on this a little bit, and I want to emphasize it. See, we can all be prayer warriors. If you don't think too highly of yourself, or you think, well, you know, those people that have been in the church for 20 years, I know that they're prayer warriors. I know that they go to prayer meetings, so I'm going to let them pray for the pastor. I just don't see that in Scripture. So I want to challenge you through James 5:17 that a correlation between us, especially if we don't think too highly of ourselves or if we think that we're really not worthy. James 5:17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So in the footnote, Elijah illustrates how a man with a nature like ours could have the power of prayer in his life of that of a righteous person. See, we have that spirit in us. If we believe, we have the light, we have that spirit. So please be in prayer for our pastor and our leaders. The next area where we can prepare is having a teachable spirit. The entire essence of discipleship is that of a learner and a follower. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul teaches Timothy, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We need to prepare by having a teachable spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 tells us that the leadership gives us instruction, and we're being transformed, so we need to be open and growing and changing. An attitude of preparation to support. The word teaches us that we should take care of the needs of those in leadership of us. Galatians 6:6 says, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. And then our scripture reading for today, our scripture passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 13, which I'm going to read. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. To esteem very highly in love and appreciate those who diligently labor among you. This is a command. In other ways that we can support the pastor is through financial support. So when we give, we're giving to the church. The church is going to take care of the pastor through a wage. That's very important for pastors. It shouldn't be a distraction. Encouragement. Through emails, cards, thank you notes, or even just pulling them aside and thanking them. Practice hospitality. Make sure that their needs are being taken care of on a personal level. Sharing lives together, knowing what their needs are and praying for those needs. We need to remember to be generous in extending our love and hospitality to the McElraths, especially as they are separating from their biological families and joining our church family. So I challenge you that they immediately become part of our family, and we put our arm around them and comfort them and encourage them. So as we've considered and studied how we should be prepared for the changes coming, how we should be prepared . We need to remember that we need to be in cooperation, prayer, have a teachable spirit, and support our leadership. So I'm going to ask you now, are you prepared? Are we prepared as a church? I pray that we'll be in submission and that we'll be prepared. We'll be preparing ourselves to be part of what work that God is doing.